But I'm calling this message The Return. There's a movement out there right now, and it's called The Return, and they're doing a lot of different events at the capitals and different places, thousands of people attending, listening into Jesus is going to return. Is he going to return to a place that's got spots and blemishes, or is he going to return to a people who are really worshiping and serving him? So return, what does return really mean? The word return means there's a re in front of it. That means it's going to happen over and over and repeat. There's an re, means it's going to return. So we're talking about returning to the Lord, but I'm going to pull it away and talk to you a little bit about some other things. The prodigal son was one of those guys that needed to return home, right? Didn't he leave the house? He ran away from his home, and it's in Luke 15, 11 through 32. He ran away from his home, but he returned back to his home. And when he was just coming to the place, his father never searched for him. His father stayed in the same place, like God is where he is. He never moved. Who moves? We do. So he returned back to the father. When the father saw him at a distance, what did he do? The father ran and hugged him and kissed him. Well, I remembered a time when I ran away from home when I was 14 years old. And I was gone for about three weeks. I had hitchhiked from Sacramento to Illinois at 14 years old by myself with 45 cents in my pocket and a bag of Cheetos. That's all I had. So I wasn't a Christian at the time. I believe my mother was praying for me. Otherwise, I don't know I would be here today. I had a lot of things happen to me along the way. I get to where I needed to, you know, where I was at. I ended up getting abandoned, you might say, in the middle of a field, just somewhere in Illinois. I had no idea where I was. I was hiding behind bushes. Every time I'd see a car coming, I'd run behind a bush. I mean, I was scared. I was by myself. I was 14. So I ended up in this house, and the guy talked me into calling home. He actually works with the youth that run away, and I was a runaway. Okay, so he got me to call home, and instead of them sending me the money, because they didn't trust me, they came and got me. My mother, my father, and my little sister, they all came and got me. They took me and returned me back home. When I got home, it's the same story. I have five sisters. When I got home, my mother bought me a beautiful stereo set. A beautiful, with a PA system and everything. And all my sisters go, excuse me, we're home. And she gets a present and she ran away? Doesn't that sound like the prodigal? The brother was jealous because the father decided to have a party for the kid that came home. So my mother and my father threw a party for me because I came home. You can see why other people got a little jealous of that. And it has been like that my whole life now. One of my sisters told me, she said one day, she goes, Linda, it doesn't matter what you do, you always come out smelling like a rose. And I says, well, you know, it's because God. It's not me. I'm not doing anything because I make a big mess. And God takes his big old broom and dustpan and cleans up my mess and puts me back aright. But see, my sisters don't do that. They just stay in their stuff. They don't know to go to the Lord to let him clean up their mess. So that's what happened here. I was being blessed even though I was a mess. All right. So how does this apply to our lives? In order for us to return home, we must have been there. Do you agree? When you go home, that means you've been there. What about heaven? Have we been there? How can we say we're going home to heaven if we've never been there? Do you know that we've been there? We've been there because we were created in the heart of God. Now, there's a lot of different ways you can think about that. Maybe we were there, and that's why we only use 10% of our brain here, because the other 90% is about heaven. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. Okay, just something to think about. So we have to have returned back home. So obviously we've been there. Think about that. Just a thought. See, the Lord knew us before we were even born, so we were in his heart from the beginning. And the Bible tells us to return to our first love that we're talking about in Revelation. This is Revelation 2, 1 through 5. It says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he that holds the seven stars in his right hand. I know your works and your labor and your patience, and how you cannot bear them which are evil. In other words, this church or these people knows what is evil. And you have tried them which say they are apostles and are not. You found them liars. You've even borne and has patience for my name's sake. You labored and you did not faint. That's all good stuff. That's all good stuff, people. We're doing good stuff. Then it says this, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because you left your first love. We're so busy doing stuff. I get caught into that. Anybody get busy? Anybody get busy and forget God? We do. We get so busy. Wait a minute. What? I haven't thought about God in the last 2 hours. What happened? Sometimes we get so busy we forget. So we have to be reminded. That's why we come to church. We left our first love. So I'm over here doing my thing and I go, oh, wait a minute. Oh, let me return back to the Lord. So it's a decision that we have to make every single day. Every single day. Repeat. Repent. Restore. We have to continue all the time, every minute. The Bible says to acknowledge God in all our ways, all of them. Not just when you're in the kitchen, not just when you're at church, but even when you're where you shouldn't be. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Who's he talking to? Who is he talking to when he says, remember therefore from when you art fallen and repent and do your first works, or else I will come to you quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except you repent or return. Just, I'm sorry, I didn't know I was doing that. Lord, forgive me. You just returned. We're talking about it in Bible study today, about your salvation comes how? By repenting, by going and saying, oh, I've made a mistake. Father, forgive me. He's talking to us. You know, the Bible, I love it. The Bible is for the believer with a provision for the unsaved. The Bible is for the believer, but a provision for the unsaved. So what if we're asked to return to something that would be too hard for us to do? There was a time where I had a yard sale. I know, anybody like yard sales? Okay. There's a time where I had a yard sale and I sold a computer. And it was a very old computer. I sold it for $100. I was so excited to sell it for $100. So it was an old guy that bought it. He was actually a real estate guy. I knew him. I knew where his office was. But and I knew when I sold it to him, it was garbage. Anybody sell garbage at your yard sale and was so happy you got rid of it? Oh, don't raise your hand. Okay. So I thought, oh my goodness, and I'm trying to not look at it, you know, okay, I know I did that wrong, okay, Lord, blah, 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 but I didn't do anything about it. I let him take it home. Every time I drove past his office, I got convicted. Give him back his $100, give him back his $100. 5 years later, I go past there. I go into his office and I said, I owe you $100. I know there's interest there, but I'm gonna give you $100. He goes, do you want the computer back? It's in my attic. I go, no, I don't want the computer back, but I wanted to pay you back your $100. I returned back to the scene of the crime. A lot of the people who are, do that, or what are they? Criminals, they return to the scene of the crime. So what if we're asked to do something hard? That was hard. I fought it. Let's look at the Bible. Hagar. What about Hagar? Hagar was Sarah's handmaid, and it says in the scriptures that the angel said to Hagar, Sarah's maid, where did you come? And whither will you go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said to her, return to thy mistress. Ouch. And submit, double ouch, thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said to her, when you do this, okay, listen, when you return, because I've asked you to return, I will multiply your seed exceedingly. Okay, I'm not telling you you're going to have a bunch of babies out here. I'm telling you that you're going to have blessings exceedingly great when you return and submit. So let's take a look at the Lord. When we return to the Lord and submit to Him, blessings will multiply in your life. We talked about that in Bible study today. Is it hard to return to something like that? Yes, it is. We have to repent, apologize, humble ourselves, but many don't want to do that. I remembered a scripture this morning, and I wrote it down. Let me see what it is. It's John 6, 66. No, that's a weird number, but it's John 6, 66. Many turned away from following Jesus because His word was too hard to follow. They didn't want to pay the dues of being a believer, and that was believe. Believe and do righteously. They didn't want to do it. It is hard to return. It's a matter of our heart. God is more concerned with what's going on in your heart or your spirit than anything else. So every day I ask the Lord, Lord, what is between me and you? What is preventing me from hearing you well? So I ask Him every day, what is it? He tells me, then I repent. That's as quickly as I can tell you to return to the Lord. So I'm asking you this question. Where in your lives do you need to return to the Lord? Is there something you're running from? Do we need to return to a big thing, a little thing? Have we set something aside for a rainy day? We're not facing it because it hurts too much. These are the things God wants us to return to. Not just that God's returning, Jesus is returning, but that we need to return our hearts to the Lord. Sometimes we return to the wrong things. How about that scripture, Proverbs 26:11? I don't like it, but it's in there. A dog returns to his own vomit. What are you saying there? It's saying because he was a sinful person, became a Christian, believed God, started living godly, and then went right back to where he was before. That reminds me of the sower, where the seed was sown, and the seed fell on the rocky ground, and it didn't get root, so he went right back to the way he was. A lot of the time, people call me, as a matter of fact, now I have a lady I'm talking to right now, who's married, great marriage, went to church, served each other with love, and now he's belligerent and very mouthy and very hurtful, and she doesn't know what to do. He returned what? To his own vomit. That's what that means. So addictions are that way. You return to your addictions or the cares of the world. I'm going to read Matthew 13:3-8. I wrote it down, it said read, so I'm going to read it. Matthew 13:3-8. This is the sower story. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up. See, they did good for a little bit, but because they had no deepness of the earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. they fell back. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But the other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Whoever hears, let him hear what the Spirit says. So the cares of the world can choke you up and cause you not to follow the Lord, can't it? So Jesus is going to return. We talked about that in Bible study today. He's going to go back home because he was there before. So he's going to take us with him one day. Matthew 24:36, it says, "No man knows the hour and time, but only God." So we don't know when this is all going to happen. And I'm going to read a real, I like the Amplified Bible. I'm going to read John 13:1. It says, "Now before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that his hour had come. It was time for him to leave this world and return to the Father. Having greatly loved his own who were in the world, he loved them and continuously loves them with his perfect love." That's that perfect stuff we're talking about. Before we can go to heaven, we have to be made perfect in the love of God to the end eternally. "It was during supper when the devil had already put the thought of betraying Jesus into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, that Jesus, knowing that the Father had put everything into his hands and that he had come from God and was now returning back to God." So Jesus is also returned. So he had to return. We have to return. Guess who else has to return to the Lord right now in our world? America. It's interesting that Ron mentioned our country, because I have something I want to share with you in closing. America needs to return to the Lord. It was founded by godly insights, traditions, values. 400 years ago, the Mayflower took voyage to come to another land, which we now call America. 10 years later, another ship called the Arabella, if I've said it right, John Winthrop, who was a Puritan leader, actually became the governor in New England in those states over there. His first message was a sermon on Christian charity. I like a little bit of history. America isn't much different than the nation of Israel either at this point. And what he did was he actually had a prophetic message, this John Winthrop. He had a prophetic message and a vision for America. It all came true. A city on a hill, a light. Look at it. We have a lighthouse, which we're right now in the Lighthouse of Hope in this church. But what I'm noticing here as I was reading this was I see that Israel is just like America. So if I see a city on a hill, a light lifted up, and will be deemed hope for the whole world, check, Israel, okay? The eyes of the world will be upon it, Israel too. God will bless it, Israel. The most powerful and most prosperous and reverent nation on the earth, Israel. Values life, Israel. Refuge of worlds oppressed and poor, yep, took care of people. Stands against darkness, yep, Israel. Chosen people, yes. This is America, but it also paralleled Israel. God gave the same message to the Israelites when he said in Deuteronomy 28:15, "And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently, return to my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, serve him with all your soul, all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake you." You don't even have to chase blessings. They will take you over. "If you shall hearken, return to the voice of the Lord your God." You know what a return is? A repentance away. Oh, I'm sorry. I see I was going down the wrong road. It's that simple. Let's not make it complicated. Repent just to mean repent. Just do it again and again and again, all day long. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, you know, all day long I'm acknowledging him. So after a while, I don't have to do that as much anymore because I'm getting better and better. I'm being perfected. Now, what I was doing 20 years ago, I'm not doing today. Have you changed? Has anybody changed in here in 20 years? Are you a little better off now? But also Winthrop had a warning. He offers a warning, just as the Lord did in Deuteronomy 28:15. "But if you not hearken unto the voice of the Lord to do these things, then these awful things will come upon you. And there is, in Deuteronomy 28, 15 through 33, lists all the stuff that can come upon you. Now, it's Old Testament, but I'm seeing a lot of this physical stuff coming today. So what's going to happen? So what did Israel do? It says right here, if the city of the hill will not return, then the judgment of Israel will fall upon it. So we're like Israel. They turned their hearts. America is doing the same. Other gods came in, disregarded God. I like the scripture. I cannot come because I bought a cow. I cannot come because I married a wife. Disregarding God. What was good is now called evil, and is evil now called good? Topsy-turvy world. Isn't that what we're living in? A topsy-turvy world now. What they once revered, now reviled, rejecting what they knew to be truth. I have a friend, her name was Lynn. And she, you know, she was raised in a Christian home. Her father was a deacon. He would come home and treat her horribly, beat her, call her names, treat her horribly. So one day she tells me, she goes, I don't believe in the Lord anymore. I don't believe that God loves. I never saw love. I don't want nothing to do with him. And to this day, she's still there. Once she reverenced, she now reviles. They profane the sacred places. America is doing this by removing landmarks, Ten Commandments from the schools, freedom of speech and more. Desecrated their children, offering and fire sacrifices. Now, we might not do fire anymore, but we're having a whole lot of abortions. See how America has fallen along with Israel. But get this, I love it that he has chosen America. I still believe we have hope. There's a lot of hope here. We still have ability to turn away from those things and return to God. The first president statue was pulled down, wrapped in the flag, and burned here recently. I don't know, maybe about a year ago, maybe when they started pulling down the statues. And the same president said this, the propitious smiles of heaven cannot be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which have in itself been ordained. So in other words, if America disregards these rules and rights, the smiles of heaven will turn to a frown. Is God smiling on you today? I believe God doesn't judge us as a whole. He looks at our individuality. Even in the Old Testament, he says, I'm never going to put on you what the fathers did anymore. I'm going to have the fathers be responsible for the fathers, the children be responsible for the children. Everybody's responsible for their own hearts. So we have hope, because if you decide in your heart to return, to repent, to go back, to seek out God, then there's hope for you. A repenting allows us to return. I like 1 Peter 4:17. It says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? It doesn't say judgment begins in the house of the ungodly. Isn't that what we want? We want the people out there to return. We want the people in the officials to do this. No, it says this starts in the house of God. That means he wants us to pray for our government. He wants us to turn to him in the ways that he wants us to turn to him. So how are we going to return? We need to return to our first love with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. How do we do that? Is there anything left if we return to God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength? Is there anything left? I don't think there's any room. Proverbs 3:6, in all our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. 1 Peter 2:25, for we are as sheep going astray, wandering around, doing our own thing, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our soul. Faith works by love. Return to faith in the Lord. Ask him to help you believe. So we need to do three things. Regard, return, repeat. Regard the word, return to the Lord, and repeat the process every day, every second, as you acknowledge God in all your ways. It's a continual process. So where are we in our lives? Do we need to return to the Lord? I'm going to give you a couple of seconds to think about that before I pray for you. Where, maybe you think in America, maybe it's with a family member, maybe you've got an issue with a loved one and you don't want to even see him at Christmas time. There's lots of things that we need to get rid of in our heart so we can return. See, when you have any unforgiveness in your heart, that's blocking you from returning to the Father. Because if you have unforgiveness, that's not love. And God is love. He wants that to be perfected in us. His love to be perfected in our hearts. We can only do that when we see what's going on, when we acknowledge him in all of our ways. Let him tell us what's going on. He's always straightening me out. Every day. It doesn't go by one day. Tom says, you don't get away with nothing. I go, no, I don't. And I'm glad. I walk a very tight rope. You might say, if I put a toenail out that way, I can feel the difference. I got to get right back. And I do it through, I'm sorry, God. I haven't sinned against anybody but you. And of course, I have to talk to somebody. I will. But our repentance and our receiving forgiveness is about the Father. You know, he sent Jesus so that we can go through Jesus to the Father. Don't stop at Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But it's God we got to talk to. It's God that sent Jesus. It's God that gives us our blessings. It's God that forgives us. But it's through the blood of Christ and through Jesus himself. So where do we need to return to Jesus in our hearts? Where do we need to allow the Holy Spirit to have free reign in our hearts? I want to pray for you. Father, we praise you now for your word. It's a simple word of hope, a simple word of message of your undying love. It is constant. You are long-suffering. You want us to return our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength to you. So I pray that each person in here that has even a teeny tiny itty bitty thing that they have to return, because a little leaven leavens the whole lump, Father. Let us get that cleaned out today, Father, as you speak to every heart. Where do they need to return? What is between you and them? Only they know, God. We all have something we can return with you about. We just praise you, God, for what you're doing, for what you're spending time with each one of us today. And this is an hour of prayer, an hour of need. Again, there's no time in heaven. And so we just give you our time, because our times are in your hands. We don't know what's going to happen the rest of this day or tomorrow. But we can glory in the one that does know, and that is you. We'll have no fear. I cast out all spirits of fear right now. I just feel right now to pray for you in that area. To casting out all fear of death, dying, and disease. Death, dying, and disease, the three D's. Because that's the one thing, Lord, that I realize that people are afraid of. So I'm asking you to give them peace, because our days are numbered and we're not going to go past them. I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.